We are in the seven reasons why, as well as serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu from a place of natural hisorerut, it's crucial to have structure, to have Torah, to give us guidelines and guidance in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu His way, not ours. Reason number six. Mipnei shaTorah kolelet es amitzvos she'ein asechel mesugal leva'er madua anu chayavim lekayem otah. Paraduma, shatnes, tehein et akralim vashorashim aikarim shel amitzvos she'asechel ken mechayev otah. The Torah has within it two categories of mitzvot: chukim and mishpatim. There are some things that don't make sense to us logically, and some things that make sense to us logically. ולכן יש צורך בהתעוררות על ידי התורה, כדי שנקיים גם את המצוות שלא היינו יכולים לעמוד עליהם על ידי השכל. We spoke about last time, and I'm going to emphasize it again now. Our relationship with Hashem is similar to the relationship with two different types of figures of authority. There's one type of figure of authority, like a doctor. When someone goes to a doctor because he's not feeling well, and the doctor says, I'm commanding you, you have to take this tablet. So the doctor has purely this person's interest in mind. The person is sick. What would happen if he wouldn't listen to the doctor? He wouldn't get punished by the doctor. He would get punished by nature. Meaning it's for his own benefit. The doctor isn't saying it to him in order to say, I'm a man of authority and you will listen to my words. The doctor is saying to him, I happen to have more knowledge in the area of healing and I'm advising you very strongly that you should take this medicine. So our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one of that of a doctor, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us guidance into that which is going to enable us to be most successful and productive spiritually in life. And when he gives us mitzvahs which are guiding us to do what's best for us. That's one category of mitzvah. And that's the mishpatim. However, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's another form of relationship. A relationship like a mefaked in the army. Where sometimes a general in the army will give you a instruction, not at all because it's beneficial for you. It might not even be beneficial for him. But it's rather a training of subjugating yourself to a system. In order for an army to serve in a functional way, everyone has to be in the same mindset. You can't have an army where everyone's a general. It's all going to go haywire. Everyone's going to have different ideas of what they want to do. So there's an initial stage of training in the army where the whole purpose of that is just a devotion and loyalty to the system. So you can function well as a unit. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu also gives us certain mitzvahs that don't make sense. And they're not supposed to make sense. And the whole goal of them is saying, Ana avdu l'kutcha barichu. Hashem, I'm devoted to you. Hashem, when it makes sense to me, I'll do it. And also HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't make sense to me because I'm a faithful, devoted, loyal servant of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avinu Malkeinu. And therefore, within mitzvahs, there are two categories of mitzvahs. Those that you would come to logically yourself, in theory, you would do it from a more inspired place if you would think of yourself than if you were told to do them and you're obligated to do them. But there are certain mitzvahs whose whole purpose is for you proving your devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu even when it's not appropriate for you. Avraham Avinu was given a test that was the opposite of his nature. He wasn't given a test. If you look at the list of the 10 tests of Avraham, none of the 10 tests was giving food to passerbys on a hot day. That was very natural to him. That was who he was. His test was slaughtering his son. One of his tests was slaughtering his son. Why was that his test? Because you have to prove that you're devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu also when it doesn't suit you. It's not considered having passed the test where it was something which is anywhere your nature and what you would have done. It's a big minor that you're channeling your nature to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but passing the test. And therefore, as well as serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu from a place of natural desire, there are specifically mitzvahs put in. The goal, the entire goal of the mitzvah is you to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm devoted to you, I'm loyal to you. When it suits me and also when it doesn't suit me, I'm going to serve you HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
So essentially the cooking like
the chukim have a tremendous point of proving your devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
There's no actual meaning behind it, like just
In this world. That one example that you just gave, so just to prove to you why that what you just said now may not be the full picture, is that you still see that the Rishonim take effort to find reasons, even in Mitzvot Tadok Chukim. So there is an ideal where even in the Chukim, which we're not saying we understand them, but we'll look for messages that HaKadosh Baruch Hu may be giving us. But Paradum is the example which Shlomo Melech says he didn't understand. So why? Because that was one thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you just approve your devotion just to your laws.
But it isn't effect with Shemayim. It doesn't do things. It's just there, like it's just saying right actually for no reason.
Physically in this world, we can't see any benefit that it gives us. Spiritually, it does have a tremendous effect. Just like tefillin, you don't see the effect that tefillin has. Even if you could understand it, reminding you of Mitzvah Mitzrayim and giving you a kavod to Hashem, but you don't see the effect spiritually that it has. So to Parah Aduma, you don't see the effect that it has. You don't understand the logic of that. But the very fact that it's the word of Hashem in the world that is being fulfilled, that's creating an effect in Shema. Spiritually. That's bringing bracha down to the world in return. Because you're doing the will of Hashem. You're making your will in this world the will of Hashem, and that sends Hashem's blessing down into the world. Even if you don't understand it. That's a reason number six, why we need specific mitzvahs to be commanded, because our goal of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the full picture. I'm serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu where it's beneficial for me, but I'm also serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu to prove my devotion to my Lord is aim, even where it doesn't make sense to me.
That our attitude towards the Sukkim is that we do these whether they make sense or not, because this is how we will prove our loyalty to Hashem, or is that when Hashem was creating the Sukkim, that was just a totally random, just find out something out of weird and wonderful that we can do which makes no sense. I assume it's not.
There is a sense which is a godly sense which we are not in tune with. At Kodesh Baruch, there are some things that make sense to us and some things that don't. The level of things that make sense to us, whatever is within that level is called the mishpat. The level of things that don't make sense to us doesn't mean it doesn't make sense. Godly, it makes sense. But within our ability, capability to understand, it's above our capability. It's not like a random thing, I should just stick up a hand. But rather, it's got a godly effect, but we, however much thinking we would do, cannot tune into it, and therefore, why do we do it? Just to prove our devotion. Now his question is, I understand why the Torah, what you've just proven to me is, why does the Torah need to write the Chukim? Because I wouldn't know them otherwise. But why does the Torah need to write Kabed et Avicha ve'et Imecha? That I would have figured out anyway. Mipnei she'ha'am she'kibel et Torah haya shakua az b'tavot b'himyot. Because Am Yisrael then, and very easy to fall into in every generation, is that we can get carried away with this world. And even things that seem very logical to man, there are times in a man's life or there are generations in which even things that seem very logical, people throw out the window. If you live in a society where they decide that it's normal to do abortion, initially if that becomes a new law, it would be very averse to you, and you would consider it a murder. But after one generation of where everyone does that, you'll say, okay, that's just what we do. And even makes sense. Why should I have... And in a generation which we're bordering on now, where they say that if someone is already elderly and they're not able to benefit the world anymore, then it's considered doing an act of kindness to them and to the world to stop their life at a certain point, not in an active way with a knife, but in a passive way of pulling out a plug or not giving them food. And that's considered a good act to do, it's a kind act to do. So according to halakha, that might be forbidden. Depending on the circumstance, it might be forbidden. But within a generation, if that becomes normal, then that will become normal. So even things that are logical, they're logical, but in certain circumstances, or in certain eras, logic doesn't exist. Or logic can be warped. Especially at times of war, or times of famine, people don't think straight. Especially when people are with a crowd, when they're going with the masses, they don't think in the normal way, they become much more extreme in their opinions when they're with a group. So even the things that are seichel, not always do you have seichel. It's not so common anymore that people have common sense. L'chein natna atorah gam et amitut ha-sichliot, k'dei she'kayemu gam atam, lefachot mitoch ha'arud ha'idei Torah. Meaning ideally, you see from here, ideally, you should come to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the things that are logical, because you've attuned your logical self into the will of Hashem without needing to be told to do it. It should be natural to you. But there are always going to be times when you don't feel it. Kibud Av V'Em is a great example of this. Kibud Av V'Em is something which, in a natural way, if you're thinking and you're calm, you'll recognize your parents have done a tremendous amount for you and you owe your whole life to them. In a natural way. But there are times when you want to do something and they say no and you get all worked up about it and you act in a way that is very rude. In a way that if you would hear someone else speak like that to their parents, you would be shocked. But when you're in the moment, you kind of lose yourself. And if it wasn't for the halacha that was brought down in the Torah of said Kibud Av and you knew that speaking like that is forbidden, you might not hold yourself back. There are certain circumstances where even logical things, you don't have an anchor on them. Your seichel isn't strong enough to be an anchor, but halacha is strong enough to be an anchor. And therefore, even though ideally, naturally, you would do it anyway, that's what we're working towards, but you still need that anchor that you would do it nonetheless, but you're very careful. The Torah gives you the structure, even for the logical things.
הם די חזקים, יתעורר לקבל אותם על ידי עצמו, לקיים אותם גם בתוך התורה לתורה וגם בתוך עוד השכל.
The fact that the Torah commands you doesn't take anything away. If you have a natural inclination to do what is positive, you'll still do it, even when the Torah commands you. So it's a win-win. When you do it from a healthy, natural place, you'll do it from a healthy, natural place, that's ideal. When you don't have the strength to do it from a healthy, natural place, you'll still have the strength to do it because you've obligated yourself to a system of halacha. And then the halacha will keep you strong as an anchor, even those times that are hard. Thank God we're Jewish and we have Torah. It gives us that ability just to be stable throughout our lives. Even in times where we don't feel like it necessarily, but we have that pattern of stability, of structure, that enables us to remain devoted and loyal.
מי ששכלו מדי חלש להשיג מדוע אנו חיים ולקיים אותם,
left of a person who doesn't understand why logical things have to be done, that's okay, I don't really understand if the Torah says, I'll do it for that reason. Just like he relates to the Chukim or relates to the Mishpatim. But either way, you'll have a system in place. And to that, you've come to a Shlemus. Yes, that was reason number 6. Now, final reason number 7, why we need to structure the Torah.
מפני שאת התורה קיבלנו על ידי משה רבינו עליו השלום, שהשם הראה על ידו אותות ומופתים, שכל בני האדם כאחד ראו והרגישו אותם, ואין הם יכולים להכחיש אותם. התברר להם כל מה שאמר משה רבינו עליו השלום בשם הבורא במופתים המוגשים על ידי חושים ובנים על ידי השכל, נוסף את זה השכלי.
There's a mystery. The Jewish people follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu because it makes sense inherently and because we have a mystery. And if someone will ever come along and say, one second, does it make sense? I can give you a proof a different way. You can say, maybe you could try and do that, but I have a Masorah. I have 600,000 Jews between ages 20 and 60, over 3 million people perhaps in total, who in one voice heard the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they told that to their children. And it's impossible that at some point somewhere in a mass revelation which took place would be smudged and fudged and it would have been made up. I'm doing what I do now because I have a tradition and a mitzvah that goes by generations. So ideally I like to do the mitzvah that makes sense from a place that it just makes sense to me, it's natural to me, and I serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu from a real authentic place. When that doesn't feel like that, I can always know that I have a solid basis, something which no other religion has. Islam has one man who had a dream, a hallucination of a prophet coming to him on a flying horse and saying to him that he is the new Messiah, and everything is based on that. And what if he made that up? Maybe he did. No one else heard it, no one else saw it, he just shared it with the world. You could see how if someone would want to make that up, they could. Christianity, the biggest miracle that it speaks about there, or revelation speaks about there, was in front of 12 people. Now even that could be made up. But even Nagid, 12 people could collaborate. And they could speak about things together, they could pass them down. And if you go in later generations, you talk about the Mormons, that's totally one person. One guy was in the woods and the tablets of stone fell down to him, and before he got a chance to tell him about them, he lost them, but he remembers them off by heart. It's okay. It's absolutely based on nothing, meaning one person. There's no other religion in the entire world that has a claim that there was a mass revelation. Never mind God, idols, nothing. There's nothing like that anywhere. in any other religion. And why not? If it's a strong claim. It's just solid claim. It's just a good proof. Why wouldn't someone else make it up? Because you can't make it up. Because they would say, how come my grandfather told me, and his grandfather told him, and his grandfather told him? The only way you can make that up is if it was a mass revelation, everyone was killed, and only one person tells the story of a mass revelation. Then it could be. If they have a mass revelation that goes to generation after generation with millions of people, there's no... Why does no one else use that claim? Why didn't Christianity base themselves on that claim? Why didn't Islam use that claim? Why didn't others, some, I don't know. Someone, somewhere, Buddhism, Baha'i, someone, use the claim. Because you can't make up a lie. You can't make up a lie. So the reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us Torah was to give us a solid Masorah. That if anyone ever has a doubt, this, that, you're always able to say, no doubt, say, just look, you have a Masorah, you have a tradition going back. There was once a Christian who came to a Jew who was naive, and he started trying to prove to him how Christianity was the correct religion. And he said to him, how many Jews do you know who keep Judaism? A few thousand, where he lived? A few thousand. How many Christians do you know who keep Christianity? He said, many, many thousands. He says, do you know that how many Jewish states are there in the world? At that time, none. How many Christian states are there in the world? Tens and tens. How many people do you think keep Christianity? He said, a billion. A billion? How many Jews in the whole world do you think there are? 14 million? He says, so, just looking for truth here. Just looking for truth. Does it not make more sense to you that if a billion people believe something, that it must be true? So this Jew turned out to be not so naive, and he says, there's also a billion Islam. Now there's a billion Christians say that the billion Islams are wrong. And there's a billion Muslims who are saying the billion Christianity is wrong. So that means that one of them is definitely wrong. Everyone agrees. There's a billion people in the world making a mistake. Everyone agrees on that. So it's not a big deal for me to say that. There's 2 billion people who are making a mistake, and my 14 million are correct. We don't go by numbers. Doesn't go by numbers. We have a Masorah, and that's worth more. You can have a billion blind people following an illogical statement. Doesn't mean it's more true. But you have one person or 10 people who all have independent thoughts, and they've clarified it. That makes it much more true then. That's reason number 7, that we have Torah, and not just relying on our own seichel, because we need the Masorah as a strong, solid form of our basis of our belief. What we've clarified until now is that we have to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu from 2 different sources. And it's crucial that a person always holds on to these 2 different sources in a way of balance. On the one hand, you have your own independent, unique connection which makes sense to you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where it inspires you, where you relate to it. On the other hand, you have a firm, solid structure of halacha that you're bound to. And you need them both at all times. Sometimes one is more strong and you're very inspired, and even if you wouldn't be bound, you'd want to do it anyway. Sometimes you're feeling like you can't be bothered at all, and your own inspiration is at -10, and the fact that you have a structure is what keeps you going. Sometimes it's pretty even, but you always have to hold on to both. Mi shemitbonen b'tavot Elokim, shehu ne'eneh b'shaveh im shal kol b'nei adam, yamin shehu mechuyav lekabel al atzmo kol sugei avodat Elokim shachasecha mechayev otam. כשבונם בתורת הבורא יתברך מיטיב רק לעמו ולא לשעמים, יאמין שהוא חייב לקבל לעצמו נוסף לעבוד השם מחייבת מצד השכל המותנת על כל בן אדם שווה, גם את מצד התורה שאין השכל מחייב אותם. He says here, a nice thing, he says, the basis of what Chosalom is all about is an awareness, a recognizing, a paying attention to the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you, and developing within yourself a sense of obligation towards Hashem based on that. So he says, there's 2 levels of goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you. He gives you goodness on a personal level, and he gives you goodness on a national level. Everyone in this room, whether they're Jewish or not Jewish, I'll say it again, everyone in this room, even if they wouldn't be Jewish, more accurate there, has goodness from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing to do with Judaism. They're healthy, they're intelligent, they have enough food to eat, they have clothing to wear, and they may have a lot more things than just that, even without Judaism being involved. And therefore there's a personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that everyone has here, just on a level of like, me personally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about me as an individual. And that should awaken them as an individual person to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the goodness that they have as an individual. Now add to that, not only are you an individual who Hashem loves and has given you personal attention, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu also gave you the gift of being part of Kali Yisrael, His chosen nation, who He gave the Torah to, who He's given a unique mission to. And you're part of a national mission of bringing awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the world. Even if you wouldn't have all those goodness in your personal level, just the awareness that you're part of a system of being Hashem's chosen people gives you a whole other level of thanks to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, you have that dual structure of, on the one hand, serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu from your own unique place of thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you also have the place where there's Torah, and you're part of Kali Yisrael, and you're bound to the structure of Torah. That dual level that we just spoke about, if you wish to awaken it, you can contemplate the goodness that you have as an individual, the goodness you have as a part of Kali Yisrael, and you can awaken those two levels. It says, if it happens to be someone in the room who's a Kohen or a Levi, that gives you more obligation to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If there's someone in the room who has a higher level of intelligence, that gives you more level of obligation. ומטעם זה נמצא שעבודת המותרת על כהנים הם 24 כנגד 24 טובות של הקדוש ברוך הוא היטיב לכהנים ו24 מתנות לכהונה. So we're at the end now of the third chapter of Chovos HaLevavot. Betez Dishmaya, we'll continue on Sunday in Perek Dal. I just want to add a point to take away. We're about to go into Maariv, and that's our most immediate and easy anchor that we can use to take this principle. In Maariv, take two brachas, one of the first few, Parnasa, Parachalenu, Konen Adah, Rafua, which speak about the individual. Take whichever one speaks to you the most. If you can't think of one yourself, then just think of Chonen Adat, the first one. And thank, in your Shemana Atzeret now, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving you the wisdom to be able to understand what you're learning in Yeshiva. That's your personal awakening to Hashem. That's your personal one. And then from one of the later ones, one of the ones of Hashiva Shofteinu, Veli Yerushalayim, Etzemach David, which are the national ones, which speak about the role of Am Yisrael as a whole, you can't think of one specific one and use Etzem Ach David, which speaks about the Mashiach's arrival, and have Kavanah in that one especially. And as you daven and you request from HaKadosh Baruch Hu those two levels, have a sense of appreciation that you're in a situation where you can even think of the fact that Hashem loves you and is an individual, and He's made you part of a system of bringing the Mashiach's arrival. Chodesh Tov.